Jason Strudwick will join us in just a moment. Our buddy Struddy and Darcy Tucker coming up. It's going to be a Kamloops Blazers love-in. Yeah, these guys, you know that's all they were going to want to talk about.
Oh, the glory days.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many Memorial Cups did you win? That was Tux's favorite line. Love that.
Like anyone
Love
cared
that.
In the NHL. But well, he did have a pretty good junior career. I'll give him credit for that.
Those guys dominated. That Kamloops team was ridiculous.
They went
ridiculous.
To, was it three in a row? I think they went
three
to
in a row.
And won three in a row. And yeah. Tux was the captain of the team, at least for the last year or two. And Ginla was on that
player.
Team. Doan, I think, was on that team. Was it Nasher in there, too, I think?
How about Scott Niedermeyer? Yes, the Rash was like a goal-scoring winger.
Yeah.
And then you had Scott Niedermeyer.
That would have been before them, though, wasn't it? He got drafted in 91.
He was part of that group. Like, Niedermeyer, that Kamloops hole, like, there's Niedermeyer again. Like, yes, Niedermeyer's older than those guys, but they like he dominated that league.
Absolutely.
Kamloops was a juggernaut for years.
Well, Hitch was the coach, wasn't he? Wasn't Hitchcock the coach? For a long time.
Bob Brown. Rob Brown's dad, Bob Brown, was the GM. They were a legendary duo.
Yeah, it's a cool little town, too. I've been to Kamloops. It's kind of a gritty little mountain town.
James Myrtle of The Athletic is from.
Yes.
He always talks about Kamloops.
He points that out lot. How many articles up on The Athletic about the Foligno deal and where he's going to play and how he fits in? How many mock-up lineups?
56, maybe?
Yeah. Well, there should be. It was a big trade. I liked the trade. Like, that was the guy I was talking about for a while. Not that I was alone. A lot of people were looking at that. But I think Foligno is a perfect fit. And there's a lot of people, I understand, that were saying, if you're going to pay that price, pay for Taylor Hall. You make it work. Put it through three teams. Bring him in here. I don't think Hall was the fit they were looking for.
I think that's an interesting debate.
You would have preferred Taylor Hall.
I think it's a debate. I think we should ask Jason.
Strutty?
Strutty might be biased because he's Taylor's buddy. I think they played together, but, I mean, maybe Strutty would like the gritty winger as well.
Let's bring him in from TSN Radio out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer. One of our favorites, friend of the show, Jason Strudwick. Go ahead, Strutty. Taylor Hall, that's your guy. I'm sure you're a big fan of him going to Boston. But what about Nick Foligno with the Leafs? How does that factor in?
Well, I want to get into it, but first, let's talk about you three guys, and not you, Jonas, but old dog on the trade show yesterday. Like, you three guys, I don't know if you guys were unprepared or what, but, like, old dog actually looked pretty sexy. He looked kind of like Penn and Teller sexy yesterday. He was pretty good. But let's start with Noodles. Noodles, you look like you're in an Undertaker's basement, and you were like Bram Stoker's Dracula, and they just levitate you up, and like, you're talking, besides Baron had a lot of colors, you look like you were like literally sleeping in a coffin and coming up every time. And then
I've always had green skin. You know me. I've always had green skin. So
I mean, it was such a contrast between Marty and all his colors. And then we got Hazer on the other side. Like, why did you have to leave so quick in the middle of the show? Like, did you all of a sudden, were you worried that your sous vide was going to overcook your fish? Like, you just sprinted out there, and I'm like, well, what is this guy doing? Like, I only work till 2, then I'm done. Like, you guys, I could have stopped watching you three guys. It was unbelievable.
It was really ridiculous. I that thing went viral quickly, but I can explain it, because I don't think I did a good enough job of that yesterday. So I had to be on the air at 4 o'clock, because Overdrive started at 4, and the last hit I did was probably ended around 3:53. So I finished the hit, and I sat there for a minute, and I thought to myself, do I wait? And then I'm like, Duffy's not going to break for me to get past him. Like, they're not going to go to break so that I can personally leave. So I just said, I'm going. And I should have taken the long way around. Like, clearly, I probably should have gone a different route. But once I was in, I was committed. And you know I love that screen time, Strutty. I needed just one more taste of it. One more taste. I had to have it.
My parking's up at 4 o'clock. I got to get out of here, guys. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what's this guy doing?
It was amateur hour. Amateur.
Oh, yeah. So anyways, as far as Taylor Hall, like, I've got a lot of time for Taylor Hall. I think he's had a tough time with some of I feel some of the organizations he's gone to haven't been the most stable. Mm-hmm. Now he goes to a place in Boston that's going to be pretty stable. They have a core group there that understands what it takes to be, a really good team. You know, they may not be as good as they were a number of years ago, but they're still a pretty strong group. And I think that's a nice landing spot for him. I don't think he would have been the right fit for Toronto. I look at Toronto, they have enough skill. So if you put Taylor Hall beside Tavares and who is it, Willie Nylander, I mean, you can only have so many pucks on the ice. And you know, they, all those three guys like to have the puck, you know, for some time in a shift. Whereas I think Foligno, if he ends up playing there, and I know there's a lot of debate about it, that's right, you can probably slot him in. You know, he's a guy that's going to give himself up for the benefit of those two guys. So he's going to crash and bang. He's going to get to the net, you know, drive the net, create hassle. And I can tell you, the D-man, when it's a little bit easier to play, and not a lot, but a little bit easier when you have three skilled guys that aren't maybe penetrating a lot towards the middle of the ice and making it, you know, making it difficult. But when you have someone in line now drives the net and pushes you back, that creates a lot of space behind that the net driver, whether it's out of the corner or off a rush. And now you're like, oh my God, I got to choose. Do I take this guy drive the net or they step up? And when I step up, they might find the guy who drives the net. So I really like that fit. And I think he brings energy and a bit more character to that lineup. You guys know how I feel about the Leafs, but I love that. Everything they did yesterday, but specifically that pickup was great.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I think Dubas was active, clearly. Like, he had a number of boxes he was going to check, and he went through the whole list, even Ben Hutton as a depth guy. Riley Nash late last week, who is a guy I think that will play Strutty. But Foligno, like, they're going overboard here in Toronto with, like, the veteran, grizzled vets that really want to get out there and win the cup, like Foligno, like Spezza, like Thornton, like Simmons. Tavares would be included in that, even though he's been here for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. Can you picture the Tampa philosophy and the way it played out last year? Could it happen here in Toronto? Can you see a similar path?
The one concern I have is the net minding. Like, who's going to be the goalie? That's the one. It's not as clear. When I look at Tampa, it was very clear who their goalie is going to be, right? So I look at Toronto, who is the guy? And Jack Campbell's a great story. You know, I what's going on with Anderson? It seems like it's a little bit uncertain. Then you kind of have the other two guys. So, you know, is there one guy in there that's going to be healthy and available and up to the level that's required to be a good, to be the net minder they need? But as far as skaters, I do. Like, I look at them and I think with Winnipeg not choosing to bring a top defenseman in, and I'm not talking about trading for, like, Hedman, but a guy who can play in their top four, you know, I think Ben's a nice addition, but he should have been, like, on top of another addition. And I think they missed the ball there. I don't know how many years they have left with this group here, and I think they missed the ball. So with that choice by Winnipeg, I think this actually makes Toronto the favorite in the North. But again, the goaltending, I mean, Noodles can speak to it better than I can, but I, as a player, I want to know who's going to be my goalie. And right now, and I recognize we're 14 games or 13 games ago, but it's a little unclear at this point.
Yeah, that's what we talked about out of the start, right, Noodles? Like, that, even Campbell loses last night for the first time all season, and how's he going to deal with that? Riddick may go tonight, he may not. But the Freddie Anderson issue is certainly lingering. There's so much uncertainty
and Brian,
there.
You're right. Brian, like, actually, before you came on, Strutty, Brian laid it out. Like, if, when you're looking at, let's say, five or six teams, and we'll include Winnipeg in there, like, outside of you know, Tampa and Winnipeg, who is the starters? Like, Colorado, obviously Grubauer, but Grubauer is, you know, statistically, he's been amazing in the regular season the last couple of years. But if you look at his history, Washington, he started, and then it was Holtby that took over. Then he goes to Colorado, and he gets injured. So, you know, he still has to go through the process. And after that, that's why they went and got Dubnyk, because they had Freddie Francaise. They went and, you know, got Johansson. They got Hunter Miska there, like, guys that really are unproven. And you look right through all the other teams that are contenders, Washington, Samsonov, like, they don't have the clear-cut guys. And then Toronto, it's Anderson, who has a history of not getting out of the first round yet. And he hasn't played, or he hasn't even stepped on the ice in a month.
In over a month. And Campbell's got really no playoff history. Yeah, it's,
and so neither does Riddick. Neither does Riddick. So Tampa's the outlier as far as goaltending stability, and then you throw in Winnipeg if they can get out of the North, if, you know, based on what they're pressed up against.
No, you're 100% right. So there are some challenges, and I think it's going to be an like I'm so looking forward to this playoff run, not just for the North Division, but for everyone, because I think there are a lot of the questions. And, you know, not seeing some of those other teams, it makes it a little bit more unknown. We can watch them, but how does, you know, the North compare to, you know, the other three divisions as far as playing? We're not sure because we haven't seen them play. So I think that it'll be interesting for the teams to get out of their division, but then the meaning of the unknown, it's a little bit like junior hockey when you have, you know, the Western League, what we know is the best league, and then you have Ontario and Quebec, and, you know, they all hook up in the Memorial Cup, and it's like, okay, well, I see these guys, and maybe I've seen them on Instagram, you know, talking about whatever, but I have never played against them. So I think that element, I think, really adds something kind of unique to this year that I like.
Well, speaking of the Memorial Cup, I can't remember how many of those teams you were on. The famous Kamloops Blazers teams from back in the 90s. But I guess not overly surprising news that the Mem Cup is going to be canceled again this year. So 2 years in a row, the Memorial Cup is not going to be played. And my understanding is the Edmonton Oil Kings thought they had like a dynasty on their hands, and I guess they can't pay off 2 years in a row. Everyone doing okay out there in Edmonton? What's going on in Kamloops, Strudy? I know you've got your ear to the grindstone out there and knowing how people feel about the Memorial Cup and you and Tux and all your guys, yeah. All the throwback players.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty special when you're able to throw a whole community on your shoulders, right, for 2 years. And I mean, whatever, you get them 2 championships. It's pretty special. But, you know, you're right about the Oil Kings. They did have a good group. And there's a young player here that I think, you know, someone's going to get lucky enough to get, Dylan Gunther. You know, and he's, I've known him for a little bit. I haven't ruined him. So obviously I didn't coach him. That's a good thing. But, you know, he's got a special release. Like, he's a good shooter. And I'm, you know, again, you know, what has he played? 20 some games. Now he's going off to that U18 team for Canada. But, you know, he's a guy that I think someone's going to get really lucky to get in this year's draft. I'm not suggesting I'm Bob McKenzie, but I've seen him play and I really like that guy. So it'll be interesting to see where he lands. You know, in the top, whatever the number of the draft is this year.
Go ahead, Jonas. Sorry.
Oh, you sure? I want to take it in a different direction. I don't want to
go ahead, Jonas.
Okay,
no,
let me. Go ahead.
Finish.
Jonas.
No, finish.
All right. I just wanted to pile on Strudy a little bit about Kamloops. Like, we were trying to figure this out. You played with Niedermeyer, or was Niedermeyer before you? Like, when was those dynasties we won three in a row? Was Tux, Nash, Aginla, and all of them there at that time?
Yeah, so what happened was Niedermeyer and Sador did it, and then they wanted to win again, so they brought another one of the bloodline in, the Strudwick bloodline, and I got another championship. So essentially, we're responsible for three of the championships, the Strudwick / small capital Niedermeyer family bloodline.
Okay. All right, I think that clears it up for everyone.
Fair enough. Maybe we're more
confused, but go ahead, Jonas. We're Jason Strudwick with TSN Radio.
I want to go back to the NHL. Jason, you watch McDavid, obviously, as close as anyone. We're watching, like, Austin Matthews scoring and scoring and scoring. He's got 32 goals. He's going to get to 40 in a 56-game season. What do you do with the MVP? How do you kind of break this thing down? Like, McDavid's going to lead the scoring race. Matthews is going to run away with the Rocket Richard. How would you vote?
Yeah, that's a tough one, and obviously it's going to be just going to come off as biased, but I still think I'd go with McDavid just because the number of assists he's piling up. You know, I last I checked, I'm pretty sure he's leading in assists. And I think that for his ability to distribute the puck and kind of make everybody around him, you know, that much more dangerous, but also like just a more of a weapon, right? Because he sucks so many people to him and he's able to get that spot, that puck to someone who's open. But I mean, I got to tell you, I think Austin Matthews taken a big step forward in his game this year. Like, I obviously getting to see him play, what was it? Eight times or nine, whatever it was, eight times you've seen him play. His game is so good. And every time the puck's on his stick, he's a threat to score. And I can't say that about every player in the NHL. Just the way he carries it kind of is one of his top hand really pushed out. And Noodles knew more about this, but it's such a, you don't know where he's going to release it, when he's going to release it. I think that's such a cool thing. So I think that his game has gone just through the roof. And I don't think he's done. I still think he's got a ways to go in his game, and that's a real positive for the Maple Leafs. But I do think I'd probably give it to Connor. It's just his points total is so far ahead of others. It's pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the number he's putting up. I think it's likely those two guys that are the race right now. But I mean, there's obviously guys south of the border who are still putting up pretty quality numbers and are chasing them. But Patrick Kane was in there for a while, and then Kane kind of stepped back a little bit. Chicago kind of fell off a little bit. And as of now, it feels like it's likely McDavid, Matthews, certainly getting nominated, I would think.
Yeah,
at this point.
Well, I think McKinnon's coming too.
He's coming on.
Kane's third in scoring now again. He got there last night, didn't he? Like, he's right there. Like, it'll be. I think it's like a four-man race for three, if that makes sense. Because Patty Kane. Yes, yeah. For nominations. Yeah. Like,
I think Chicago's got to get in. That's the only thing. If Chicago misses, Kane's not going to get nominated, just based on the history of the award.
Yeah.
You know, that's generally the way it goes. But, yeah, Kane's got Matthews by a point. But Matthews has so many more goals than him. I think Matthews should probably be ahead of him. But what's interesting about that is Draisaitl's still lighting it up. And wins the Hart last year. This year, it's like, sorry, that's not good enough for us. You know, we're going to have to move on from him. But anyway, we'll see. There's only so many more games before the real stuff, and we know who's going to the playoffs. The Oilers are going. The Leafs are going. Montreal and Winnipeg, and we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Stretty.
I'll send you a countless Blazer picture, buddy. Put it on your wall.
Sign if you can. An NFT.
That's more expensive. That's more expensive.
Fine, I'll pay it. I'll pay whatever I have to. I need it. Thank you, Stretty.
See you, guys.
There's Jason Strudwick of TSN out in Edmonton. Yeah. Former Kamloops Blazer legend.
We always forget, like, Scott Niedermeyer and Rob Niedermeyer are his cousins.
Right.
Like, it is crazy about the bloodlines that the skating stopped at the Strudwick household, but the
what happened there? Like, the Niedermeyer, like, Scott in particular, just one of the great skaters of all time.
Then, I love it.
Yeah, let me look at these teams, these Kamloops
teams. It's like all future NHLers. It's pretty nuts.
It's pretty incredible. And even, like, the turnover, because the 1 year, like, I'm trying to find it here, Daryl Sador, Scott Niedermeyer. I don't think Niedermeyer played a ton of games because he would have been at the juniors, and he may have started in the NHL before he came back. But that 91-92 team, Tom Rennie was the coach.
Yeah.
And they won 51 games that year. That was when Tucker was a rookie that year, but Tyson Nash is on that team. Like depth young kids were future NHLers on that team.
Yeah, they had a great program. They had a great junior program. I know we got to go, but I think Strudy made a great point about junior hockey in the Memorial Cup and the NHL. Like, that's true. The WHL and the Quebec League and the OHL, all the top teams are coming out, and then they face each other in the Memorial Cup. That's what the conference finals are going to look like,
right?
Where you haven't faced those teams at all. You just know about them. Certainly the NHL, you know and played against these guys in previous years, but it's kind of that template where
the Final Four is going to be a lot like the Memorial Cup. That's exactly what it's going to be like. I mean, there's more turnover, there's more of a connection, clearly, but a lot of it is going to be seeing these guys for the first time. It's like the World Series back in the day before interleague play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only chance you get to see a Boston, a Pittsburgh, a Colorado, a Vegas, a Tampa, or whatever, is if you get to that Final Four. And that's going to be pretty cool. And we know one Canadian team is definitely going to be there in the end.